Evening, it's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. It is time for the third installment of our municipal election series. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director, and joining me in the studio tonight for our third and final of our local election forums are Molly Kabler and Tim Fulton, two of our three school board candidates with me this evening. Last night we had the mayor candidates on at this time, and Monday night we had the assembly candidates on at this time, and both those forums, if you didn't get a chance to hear them, are available online at kcaw.org. The number to call if you'd like to participate in tonight's forum and ask your candidates questions is 747-5877, and the election is next Tuesday, October 7th. So good evening to you both, Molly and Tim.
Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Robert.
And let me just state right off the bat that we do have three school board candidates, and our third candidate, Lillian Feldpouch, I spoke with her earlier today on the phone. Lillian is coping with a family medical crisis, and it has, I hope it's temporary. She seems to be moving through it, and it forced her to miss the Chamber of Commerce forum 2 weeks ago, and it looks like it's going to force her to miss tonight's forum as well. However, she is still a viable candidate. I still see she's advertising in the Sentinel, and we all wish her well. It's not at all good timing for someone to be dealing with what she's dealing with right now, but hopefully it's a problem that will sort itself out here in the very near future. So our best to Lillian, who can't be with us tonight. If you have a question for our candidates, the number is 747-5877. And before we get to questions, I have a long list. I wanted to ask each candidate to just introduce herself or himself and let us know why you're running. Molly, do you want to start off?
Be glad to start. Thank you, Robert, and thanks for having the forums this week, not only the two previous ones, but this one. Thanks also to Tim and Lillian for running. I'm a long-term school board member. I've served nearly 10 years, and I'm really pleased to see the quality candidates come out to be on the board. There's two seats. I'm the incumbent. Really, it's too bad that all three of us couldn't join the school board, because I think each of us have something to offer. The main thing I have to offer probably is my experience. I've served on the board, as I said, almost 10 years, including a couple of years as the chair, been involved in lots of issues over the years, pretty well versed in the budget process, and know the players and current issues. I've lived in Sitka for over 25 years. Both of my children started kindergarten in the Sitka School District. One's now in college, the other in high school. So I have the parents' perspective on the Sitka School District. And I still have energy and interest in serving. It's something that isn't easy, but I find really worthwhile. And I just want to say up front, I'm a person who's involved in radio, and that makes this type of forum a lot easier for me, and so I really appreciate that Tim's here and want to state up front that this is a harder thing for him, so thanks, Tim.
All right, and we're not going to take any gardening questions tonight, no matter how badly you want to ask one. That's going to have to wait. Tim Fulton, this is second time around for you running for school board. You must be pretty motivated, pretty interested in getting on this body. What? Why?
Yes, I am. First, I'd like to wish my best to Lillian and thank Molly for her continued interest in our school system. Last year, I started running for school board because of a Sentinel article that said that nobody was stepping up to do it, and I thought that it was time for me to do that. I've been volunteering with the schools for many years. My daughter's in high school now, and started out with Mount Edgecombe Preschool, volunteering there, and I've gone all the way up with it. And the more involved I get with the schools, the more interest there is to making a difference in our kids' life. And I thought that the school board would be a good opportunity to really impact that. So this year, I was thinking about it pretty serious, but I got several people have encouraged me to run again, so I figured that was the thing to do. So here I am.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Tim. The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a question for our two of our school board candidates here this evening. I have a list of questions. I'll just dive into mine, and I also have some questions that I have. I've just been out talking with people and asking them their interests in what they'd like you guys to answer tonight. And I've also received some email questions as well. And I should add, I was talking with Tim earlier before we went on the air that in going around and talking with people, I've found that asking them what they want me to ask school board candidates seems to generate a lot more specific response than when I ask them, what do you want me to ask your assembly candidates and what do you want me to ask your mayor candidates? It's an interesting phenomenon. I've just observed it over the last few days. But I'll start with a couple of my questions, and then hopefully we'll get a call or two and get the ball rolling there. The number again is 747-5877. Tim, I went to the chamber forum for school board candidates, and I know you guys were asked about some of the strengths that you bring to the board. I have kind of the flip question. I wondered, do you feel that you'll have any weaknesses as a board member? Any challenges to overcome?
Oh, you bet! Right out of the box, I am inexperienced in this. So I'm going to have the learning curve that comes with that inexperience, and all I'm taking into it right now is a desire to help our kids, help our school, our community. And there's going to be a big learning curve for me.
Okay. Molly, what about you? What weaknesses, challenges you think you face as a board member?
That's a great question. One of them, I think, is the idea that I don't really have the freshness that a new person brings to the board. Many of the issues come up time and time again. And so someone new has that freshness to tackle every issue as a new thing. And I see that as, oh, yeah, we've dealt with this before. So I wouldn't say I wouldn't deal with something again. That's certainly changes in an environment, new situations, whatever. We probably need to look at similar issues over again sometimes. But I think someone new brings a freshness to those things, and perhaps will bring new ideas. And for me, this is something I've worked on for a long time.
All right. The number to call is 747-5877. Molly, do you feel you represent a particular constituency on the board?
I hope not. I've worked really hard to try to learn about all sectors of the community and see a lot of the different aspects that the district provides for different sectors of the community. I know our current board president, Scott, always says I'm an advocate for arts education, but he says that about himself, too. And so I hope I don't represent just one constituency.
What about you, Tim? Do you feel you represent a specific constituency on the board?
No, I don't. I would be in this same boat here as Molly. I would hope that I wouldn't. I would be able to think things through from all sides and appreciate that, but I don't feel that I'm representing anybody in particular other than the whole school district.
Okay. I'm going to go to one of my email questions from a Raven Radio listener. And the question is kind of has a couple parts here. Do you favor, Tim, I'll pitch this to you first. Do you favor a top-down approach? In other words, the administration telling teachers what they have to do? Or would you encourage the administration to define challenges and then use frontline staff and teachers to help develop solutions? What's your philosophy there?
My philosophy is the people that are doing the teaching are the ones that have the knowledge. There are administration. I deal with this in my job all the time, that we're out there, we're doing the job, and somebody comes up with this great idea that isn't practical, and it would work so much better when they ask us how we can make this this work and make it happen, and define the challenges, and then allow the teachers or whoever it might be to fix it.
Okay, Molly, what about you? Top down or bottom up, so to speak?
I actually have a fondness for bottom up, but I'm in the top of the food chain, so that's a difficult piece. But from my perspective, the school board and the superintendent are a team to help set the vision for what's supposed to happen in the school district. But the teaching of students is the interface where learning actually happens. So somewhere we have to meld those two things together. And I really like the idea of leadership coming from anywhere within the hierarchy of an organization. So if somebody has a good idea and they're willing to take it on and show leadership around it, that's a positive thing from my perspective. Tim's right. You have to have the whole picture of the district. There has to be consideration for the big picture at the same time. So hopefully, as at the vision level, we're interested in hearing all the good ideas, and we can work kind of up and down the chain together.
All right. Thank you, Molly. I had a follow-up question of my own based on that came to mind when I read this question from this listener. One of the issues that the school board is likely to face this fall is revisiting the idea of extended day kindergarten. And I know there was a difference of feeling on the board between some board members and some of the staff at Baranoff Elementary who there was a gulf there in the difference of opinion whether the kindergarten day should be extended. How do you think that's going to play out, and what will you bring to that conversation if you're elected?
Thanks. That was one of our hard issues this last year. It was divisive within the district. One of the things that I came out on that issue was that we weren't clear about what it was that we were solving by having an extended day. So if we can have a good discussion and an understanding about why we should have extended day kindergarten or extend the kindergarten day further than it is and what outcome we're looking for, then to me that's worth the conversation again and weighing what we would give up by making that change. So I still don't have an answer to tell you we should or we shouldn't. I voted no the last time because it wasn't clear to me what it was we were solving or resolving.
All right. Thanks, Molly. Tim, I don't know if you track this debate, but some on the board and some in the administration, I believe, felt that achievement in kindergarten could be improved with more teacher contact time in kindergarten. And there were some kindergarten teachers and some of the counseling staff very adamant that kindergartners were already
maxed out.
Yes. You've probably heard of this. Where would you stand on this issue if you're elected?
It's a big question. Actually, I have paid a little bit of attention to it. I haven't gone into that many details, but I have heard the concern and read articles about the concern of maxing out our kindergarten students. And but there's, on the other side of it is, if we can show that it is a benefit, that it isn't too much for them, I think for me to make an informed decision, I need more information and have to do some more research on that.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. The number to call is 747-5877. If you have a question for our school board candidates, we have two of them in the studio with us this evening. We've got Molly Kabler and Tim Fulton. Lillian Feldpouch is the third school board candidate who unfortunately is not able to join us this evening due to a family medical issue. We certainly wish her well on that. I believe we have a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, yes. I'd like to just ask the position of the candidates on the teaching of intelligent design. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your question. Tim Fulton, do you have any thoughts on intelligent design and teaching of it in schools?
Boy, it's that's one that I haven't really paid any attention to. I'm not informed on that at all. I'd have to do some studying.
How about just a general opinion of the teaching of religious ideas in school?
Well, I think that that religion and schools really aren't meant to be together. You know, there's if our parents, other people want to teach their kids religion and so on, I more power to them. But I don't believe that it belongs in our schools.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Molly, your thoughts?
Thanks. Good question. I think faith-based learning isn't appropriate in the school district. However, I really would welcome the idea that students learn about religion, not from a standpoint of learning to adopt a faith, but learning about faith. So I don't have any problem there. If the presentation of something as theory wants to be set forward, it's fine. But really, faith-based learning is best outside the school district.
And in the science classroom at all?
You know, it's a really difficult thing because you have people that come to a community, and I say the classroom as a community, bringing their beliefs. And so you have to respect everyone's beliefs. At the same time, I think that we need to stick with what we know as current theory and science as it's presented in the literature.
All right. Thanks, Molly. Hi, you have a question for our candidates?
I do. I guess it's, in a way, it's a follow-up to what you were just discussing. It seems as though the most typical kind of situation for the board to deal with has to do with the way the system works. And there is a sort of an essential buy-in to the structure. And I'm wondering whether there is either of the candidates here have a sense of the possible usefulness of sort of backing away periodically from the specific of that kind of situation to look at in a serious way what the purpose of education is. It seems to me that that's something that is a kind of fundamental question, and I don't know that it's really fully considered.
It seems like a very big picture question you're asking.
Yeah.
Okay, the big picture. I've got a couple of expressions here in the studio. I wondered if you might be able to specify or give us an example of where a similar approach might be going on somewhere that we could kind of hang our answers on to.
You're asking me that?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a very deep, from my point of view, a very, very deep problem, and it has not only to do with public education by any means. It has to do with the fabric of education and what's assumed about the purpose of education in a very uncritical way, I think, most often, about why it is we educate and how it is we educate. To what end? Is it simply to make us all competitive in the marketplace, you know, in the economic system, so that we're all, you know, contributors to some kind of system that's there in place?
Okay.
Or something else?
All right. Okay. We have the picture. Thanks very much for your question.
You bet.
All right, Molly. What do you think?
Thanks for the question. Well, number one, at the board table, we ask what is best for children. So when we are considering education globally, it's what's best for kids rather than what's best for others. So that's sort of my filter. But really, from my perspective, public education is an institution's, and when you do things in an institution, it doesn't always fit everyone's needs. But it's the basis of our democracy. And really, it gives everyone an opportunity to participate in our country and our democratic ideals. So from my perspective, that's what we're educating people to do. People bring different strengths and interests as individuals to schools, and they're going to take away different things from it. And when you have an institutional offering of something, you're never going to have something that fits everyone easily, and it is very difficult to deal in really big pictures there. So the crossroads between doing something within the constraints of the institution and funding and our abilities and, you know, what we see as global ideals for our country is a difficult job.
Thanks, Molly. Tim Fulton, why do we educate?
Well, I think for me, it's simple. We need to give our students, our young people, tools, the necessary tools to be successful. And with that, everybody's definition of success is a little bit different. You know, for somebody, it might be becoming a doctor or a lawyer or being on Wall Street or something like that. And for others, it's simply getting dressed in the morning. And I think as school board members, we need to be able to address that and give them the right tools to be successful, whatever that might be for them.
It's a big job. Thanks, Tim. Hi, do you have a question for our candidates? Hello? All right. I think we lost that call. The number is 747-5877 if you have a question for the candidates in our forum tonight. And if you get the Raven Radio voice mail system, that means both lines are full. But I think we have another call. Hi, do you have a question for our candidates?
Yes, I do. I know enrollment numbers have been decreasing, and I read recently that there were, I believe, 32 students now at Mount Edgecombe High, Sitka students. And I wondered if there are any thoughts on why and what the candidates could try to do to try to retain more students at Sitka High. Thank
All right.
you.
Thanks for your question. Yeah, I have a whole section here on declining enrollments, and 32 is the number I got to. I called Mount Edgecombe. And Sitka's school enrollment is down, and it has this number of 32 is the number of Sitka students who are over at Mount Edgecombe, and it means a loss of funding and just a host of other challenges. And where is that on your radar, Tim?
Well, it's up there. It's quite high, actually. I have been doing some calling and some research on it. It's interesting. I talked with our staff, our district, and they are aware of it, and they are addressing it as we speak, actually. And they're talking with the administration at Edgecombe. Those students, it is a loss of revenue for our Sitka school district for sure, but We need to ask why, and I have talked with some of the parents, and some of it has to do with a cultural connection with the students that are going across the bridge. They feel more connected to their culture by going across there. So we need to look at that. Is there something that we can be doing in the Sitka School District to address that, where they're feeling closer connected? And some of the parents have told me, quite frankly, it's not something that we can fix. It's just they have a problem with this teacher or this administrator or something like that just there. And it's a personal opinion, and they just feel that it doesn't work for the Sitka School District to educate their kids. So we definitely need to be asking questions to see what we can do to fix it.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Molly, is it even fair to be connecting Mount Edgecombe's enrollment with the Sitka School District enrollment in this kind of question?
Well, I think under the, you know, current terms of declining enrollment, we have to ask all the questions and examine this. And I'm glad to hear, Tim, you're talking to people and thinking about it, too. From the things I've heard is that every family who has students that potentially could be going, say, to Sitka High that are going to Mount Edgecombe High School, the reasons are highly varied. One of the things I've always felt comfortable with as a school board member is the idea that we need to support families making choices. And so simply to look at it as somehow we've made a mistake and we have to figure out how to get them back. That's not my perspective. We have Reach Homeschool. That's a choice. That's a district-supported homeschool program. And so we support those families that make that choice. There's quite a few people in our community who use statewide cyber schools. That's another choice people make. And there's the option for some students to go to Mount Edgecombe. And then there are students that are homeschooled through other options. And some of those families are probably Coast Guard families who know they're going to move, and it's difficult for their students to move in and out of districts, especially if they have a certain thread of curriculum. And so it's easier for them to maintain their own curriculum as they move along. So there's actually more choices than just students going to Mount Edgecombe. And so I'm pretty supportive of choice for families to know what's best for them. At the same time, if there's something we're doing wrong and we can find that out and improve it, that's important too.
Okay, thanks, Molly. Edgecombe aside, we know that enrollment in the Sitka School District is declining for just socioeconomic reasons in the community. And the district, if you are returned to the board, and Tim, if you're elected to the board, you're going to be facing a reduced budgets. Secure Rural Schools Act this week was shot down by the House. The Senate had actually increased Secure Rural Schools funding, but it didn't get through the House. We don't know where Secure Rural Schools is headed, but that was $500,000 in funding that we had last year that we're not going to get this year. I wonder, as you sort of prioritize what the district should be doing, what it should be funding, are you starting to think about lining up your cuts for the future? You know, where you're going to be able to sign off expense reductions? Is it teaching staff, programs, district office, consolidating schools? Have you been doing this calculus yet, Molly, at all?
Well, last year when we presented our budget at the assembly table, we were asked, at what point do you consider a school consolidation? And I told the assembly members at the time I wasn't ready to go there yet, but certainly that is something we have to weigh, what cost savings would be there and what would it look like, and do we have few enough students that we wouldn't overcrowd one of our current school buildings by combining. So we haven't dug into the issue of school consolidation, and we haven't really looked at specific programs to eliminate. I haven't given up on Secure Rural Schools funding. About 10 days ago, I was in Washington, D.C., lobbying on the House side, and the news today is that the Senate plans to put the Secure Rural Schools Act on the bailout package and send it to the House on their version of that. So it's not dead yet. There hasn't been support at the House side on the federal level, so still hoping for Secure Rural Schools money. It does make a big difference, and it's not only to us, it's all of Southeast.
All of the Pacific Northwest, all of the West, really.
Yeah, that will benefit from the Secure Rural Schools money. So that's really important, especially as districts are facing increasing costs, especially energy costs. So, no, we'll start our budget process in January at the Sitka School District if I'm reelected, and that's where we'll really dig in and start having the good look at what's happening.
Thanks, Molly. Tim, what about you? You must realize that you're running for election to the board at a time when enrollments are declining, and that necessarily means budget cuts. And where are you going to hold the line, and where are you going to be compromising?
Well, that is a very good question, and yes, I am aware that we're looking like Molly. Though I'm got my fingers crossed that something's going to happen there with the Secure Rural Schools monies, but I don't have enough information to know really. It's in my mind. I'm going, no, we don't want to cut that, and no, we don't want to cut that. But at some point, there's got to be, yes, we're willing to give this program up. And to know the effect of that, it's just going to be a lot of information gathering and make that informed decision.
If you're faced with a cutting decision, Tim, and again, this might not be something that you know until you're actually put in that position. I mean, that might be something that none of us could know until we were actually put into position, but would you, are you somebody who might go for just cutting a program entirely or trying to reduce the cost of a program, or have you thought along those lines at all?
Yeah, I think I have. It depends on the program, and but if we can continue a program and look at better ways to do it, you know, maybe volunteers, or I don't know what the answer might be, but I think the important thing is that we need to ask the questions. I think it's going to take the community getting involved and bringing some ideas forth in this process to see what we might be able to do to save what we can.
All right. Thanks, Tim.